Normally I say good evening, but is there any good going on here? Yes, that's right. It is Saturday night, November 24th, 2018. This might be a night to remember for all the reasons. This is Teal Town After Dark, your live and interactive Sharks post game. And of course, hi everyone. If you want to be part of the show, there are multiple ways to interact with us, chat with us, and fellow Sharks fans in the YouTube chat, on the page, or the app. We will listen to you all. We welcome the 27 that were waiting in there. We welcome over 1,084 subscribers who subscribe to our channel. Make sure you smash that subscribe button and ring that bell to get notified when we do go on the air. You can also contact us on Twitter using hashtag TealTownUSA or just add us at TealTownUSA and do yourself a favor. Follow us on all of our social platforms, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, SoundCloud, and of course, again, that YouTube channel. We thank you for joining us on a really rough evening for Sharks hockey. I will say hello to a guy who, I don't know, it looks like it's semi-clean, Mr. Eric Landy.
Yeah, it's semi-clean. I mean, there was some clothes on there, so let's not blame the clothes curse again. But no, on a serious note, guys, it's just some really, really troubling stuff tonight. And things that we, you know, marked as issues, you know, coming in that we thought maybe had cleared up, obviously have not. They've reared their ugly heads back and, you know, Dell posting a shutout, then coming back and getting shut out. Not great.
And also joining us, rocking that beautiful San Jose State sweatshirt today, even though they got dominated by Fresno State in the football game, it is Mr. Alex Martinet.
Hello. Rough game, especially after last night. But God, this is going to be one of the games that you just hope is not a sign of the team's overall strength throughout the regular season.
Yep. It's going to be interesting tonight. And, you know, it's very, very interesting to see. Or are you going to break another window again? I didn't even break a window. That was back years ago when I was a kid and I shot a puck and I did my best Christian Ehrhoff impersonation. So kind of going through the chat right now because I think a lot of people are trying to vent on here. A lot of people talking about the coach. I can't see them, you know, being wrong or being right at the same time. So just going through it, Felix, he's not going to be fired after tonight, but like I just tweeted, DW is going to be real concerned. California Cruise and PDB Vacation in Vegas. Celia saying, of course, Del wakes Vegas up. I don't know about that. If Dave B. Pilot saying if it wasn't for him, it would have been 12-0. One thing that Clark85 mentioned, we did the same thing to the Flyers tonight. You know, Pickard got shut out yesterday beating the Rangers, but then the next night, tonight, the Flyers lose 6-0 to the Leafs. So it's going to be interesting. Like Alex said, it might be extra salty and it might be very interesting there. But, We shall see, but let's get things going here in the recap of tonight's game as the Sharks start their 5-game road trip. They start their back-to-back with Vegas, and it wasn't pretty, folks. Early on, it's never – you never have that whole elf, you know, a minute into the game is over, but – man, it did feel like it. 14 seconds in, William Karlsson, who's had the best luck of scoring goals last year, probably not as greatest luck in the world this year, gets on the board 14 seconds in. McNabb and Marchessault with the assist. 1-0 Vegas. Then Colin Miller, 440 in from Smith, makes it 2-0. Sharks then start getting some penalty trouble. Melker Carlson goes off for holding. And Max Pacioretty bangs home his 7th from Smith and Miller to make it 3-0. And then Pacioretty again at 16:28 to basically seal this game right off the bat. It was 4-0 after one period of play. Believe it or not, the shot totals were 11-11 after one period of play. Alex, after 20 minutes, your thoughts?
At least they didn't have to wait until the second period to let in 3 goals like usual.
Ouch.
Yeah. I just all 3 periods, it looks like the Sharks just didn't skate. They just kept on trimming the puck in the neutral zone. And it just led to everything. Like, that's Vegas's blueprint. Turn over the puck in the neutral zone, get fast transition points, and that's what it is. And for some reason, maybe it was the back-to-back, but like, even if it was the back-to-back, like the Sharks' top 6 forwards were all resting with 9 minutes to go against Vancouver. So I don't know if this is a sign that PDB is not, you know, losing the locker room or just the team is just fatigued, but really disappointing effort considering that this was the opponent that knocked us out second round.
Landy, I know you're about to burst at the seams about this tonight. And Chris does bring up a good point. Vegas was up by 3 before the Sharks had their 3rd shot. But your overall take on the first period that literally decided this game maybe within the first 14 seconds.
Tonight, this team got outworked, got out-hustled. Mental lapses like you would not believe a team of this caliber should make. A team that is got Stanley Cup aspirations. I've seen in the comments, you know, every Stanley Cup champion team is going to have 2 or 3 of these kind of games. But still, this is what, the 3rd time that this team has looked this bad this early? We're talking Dallas. We're talking St. Louis. And we're talking this game. Those are 3 shutouts with more than 3-0, you know, 3-0 loss. Or I guess Dallas was 4-2. But point being, this team has showed an unwillingness to play the body at times. This team has shown that if you do pressure them in their own defensive zone, that you can get them to make mistakes in front of the net. You have lackluster passing through the defensive zone. You have poor execution by the wingers coming back into the defensive zone to help out their defensemen on those up passes. And you know what? The prime, we're past grade A scoring chances. We're at prime scoring chances. You know what? You can understand if it was like a 3-0 game on a back-to-back, but to be so poor tonight and they let it come to them. They let it come to them. And you know what? That team looked like it gave up after the second period. They just stopped skating through, you know, back checks back through the neutral zone were not happening anymore. You had a couple of guys come up and maybe too little too late in Kane, Barkley Goodrow. But come on, guys. You know, after 2-0, 3-0, you've got to go to the body. You've got to have a heavier forecheck. You know, like I said, I guess I'm not as mad as I am disappointed. This was just not the way that you would want to come out against a team that quite honestly outplayed you in every facet of the game in that second round series.
Yep. What are you reading into PDB, you know, showing up for the second period and, you know, arriving early, maybe giving the players time to have a players only meeting?
I think. Oh, I mean, well, let's go into that. I mean,
and I have the GIF that I put together of it on my screen here. Yeah, he was waiting before the second period started, before any players came out and officials. And apparently, he let the officials know he wasn't pleased with the calls that were going his way. But go ahead, guys. I'll let you keep at it.
Yeah, I mean, to me, this screams when that happened, I immediately thought of, you know, a coach kicking down a door, or a coach, you know, throwing a clipboard, whatever you want to call it, or a whiteboard, you know, across the room. This is one of those, you know, moments that a coach has, and maybe a good, you know, a coach that's kind of in his prime, you know, maybe has three or four of those outbursts during his career. And you only get, you know, one or two of those in each, you know, stop in your coaching career with one team. You know, that just screams of desperation. You know, it screams of, look, I'm out here ready to go. You guys aren't. That, you know, Al, you clued in on a little bit about it possibly being the coach losing the locker room. I don't know if it's that, but I'm telling you what, this is a systematic failure. This is the second year in a row that your defense just gotten eaten alive by that swarm, you know, that swarm play style that Vegas employs.
Yeah, one of the major things the Sharks can't handle is speed. Yeah. And Vegas has a ton of it. And it was St. Louis, Dallas, and what was the other one? That was a total.
This one, St. Louis, Dallas, and this one.
I thought that was our fourth one.
Oh, our fourth one. You keep on it, Al. I'll check. Okay.
But anyways, Dallas, St. Louis, all those teams have top talent that can, you know, go back to the end. They're faster on our top six forwards. They are built for speed, and, you know, maybe they don't have the experience, but sure as hell they can beat us to the puck, and that's what's hurting us right now. Like, I wouldn't want to face Winnipeg. Like, that's a horrible matchup for us. Dallas is a horrible matchup for us, also. Like,
You know, and being, you know, sheer dumb luck to beat the Predators. You know,
yeah, that was. I think that was the game that Subban got fractured his arm, or he got injured that game, or it was something to that degree.
I mean, the Toronto game was pretty bad as well. You know, I'm just kind of going through the schedule right now. I mean, Toronto was definitely a really crappy. The 4-0 at Barclays Center from the Islanders.
That was it.
Yeah, and you know, like I said, this team is riding extreme highs and extreme lows. There is no consistency between starting goalies. There's no consistency in defensive, you know, effort and defensive system, you know, adherence to system. And the scoring has been hot and cold, quite frankly. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Eric.
Here's my thing. You know, and we're getting a lot of people in the chat, and we thank you all for joining us in here. But to read some of this stuff, you know, Richard Duvall is playing well against Vancouver's to be expected. Yes, but they did start off to a great start. Vegas started off to a horrible start. Even some of the fan blogs were saying, hang on, yeah, we suck because we aren't gangbusters out of the gate. Well, guess what? They figured things out really quick. Carlson is not the problem, and Carlson is not going anywhere. They would be dumb to trade Erik Karlsson. I can't see it happening tonight. Dave B. Pilot, body isn't the problem. Physicality isn't the problem. The Sharks lineup is subliminal. Systems are mad. Mental engagement isn't there. Now, here's the thing. The mental engagement or the mental toughness of this team has been always, well, I won't say always, has been an issue for a very long time. I think you go back to, I would say, as far-fetched as 06 in Edmonton. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm going that far. When this team was up 2-0, they were the highest seed left in the West in the playoffs, and it just fell apart after they lost game 3 in overtime. They blew game 4. I mean, let's be real here, guys. There's always been that, and I hate to say the word, that choker mentality surrounded this by this team. It's really magnified in 2014. And how many times have we seen the lead blown up this year?
Yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right, Eric. But I think there's a difference between, you know, getting shown up or choking, you know, having a lead and letting it slip away and not even showing up. Tonight they didn't show up. I that team was at half of its mental capacity.
Yeah, and this is probably the second or third game where you could say they just didn't show up at all. And it was kind of odd seeing Dell get the back-to-back start, because normally it's...
I like the move, though. The move took guts, you know, and I was saying it last night. If Peter DeBoer did go to Dell, that would be a clear shot against the bow of Jones, who clearly is not good tonight. But clearly the defense is suspect as well. So how do you dissect what is Jones' coldness? What is the issue on the defensive scheming? I think it's a little bit of both at this point. I think it's a lot of bit of both on this point.
And like Jerry F saying, can't we win 3 or more games in a row with this lineup? And I absolutely agreed. And it's the opponents, like Beach Boys fans forever. It's the opponent too. Vancouver has been down and out, and there's that mental, psyche going on there where they're down and out, and they took advantage of it. Vegas was coming off a strong 2-0 shutout against Calgary, and I think having that at home, having back-to-back at home, they fed off getting on this on their teams early. We've seen it before many times. We saw it last year in the playoffs. Getting on teams early gets their mental toughness, mental psyche out of it, and it's lost. And it triggered on, and it showed in the second period as we slowly get back into things. William Carrier, his fourth from Ryan Reeves, makes it 5-0 at 3:27, and then William Carrier goes off for hooking against Erik Karlsson. Sharks didn't do anything on the power play. They did have some chances. I'll give it to them. Then things started to get a little more interesting. 13:06, Evander Kane takes a high stick against Braden McNabb. The Sharks kill that one off. And then just 35 seconds after he's out of the box, Evander Kane takes a tripping penalty. Personally, I thought it looked closer to kneeing. It looked very borderline like he was playing kneesies with Tomáš Nosek. He also said you're an effing believable to a ref as he's going to the box, and that's where the unsportsmanlike came in, and then they call him for abusive officials and abusive language. And that also got him the 10 in the game, and that's why he was gone. PDB was already hot about that. Jonathan Marchessault at 16:34 gets a slashing call on Barclay Goodrow. They play 4-on-4 at that same time. Peter DeBoer gets tossed out as a game misconduct head coach. And was somehow they say it was served by Evander Kane, but I don't know how that's possible in that sense. But and apparently I've been getting tweets that saying that maybe Ron Wilson has been one, but I don't recall a Sharks head coach ever getting tossed out of a game in the 20-year history of this franchise. And
I thought I could have sworn T-Mac got one.
Yeah, T-Mac, Ron, and also what was the other? Sutter?
Daryl,
yeah.
Yeah, I could have sworn that T-Mac got one. I don't know. I'll have to take a look at that, but
I've been looking for it. I remember seeing T-Mac getting thrown out. So
yeah, so it's happened. Yeah. How long did Sutter go that long without getting injected? Yes, Andy, man. Yes, he was tossed out tonight. So it was crazy about that. We were expecting to hear from the coach as we do after the game, but maybe because he was tossed, he's unavailable to the media. Nonetheless, third period now to just quickly finish this up. Alex Tuck gets his seventh from Theodore at 5:58 to make it 6-0. That goes on to be your final. Now, one thing I'm going to say about the third period, Dell made some pretty good saves to keep it at just 6-0. And so it was really interesting to see the parade to the penalty box continued. Eakin and Hurdle each got roughing coincidental minors. Carrier got roughing against Dylan. Barkley Goodrow got an unsportsmanlike conduct penalty, and then he got a 10-minute misconduct and a game misconduct to add on to it. Justin Braun looked like he was going to be getting slew-footed by William Carrier, and then he roughed up Carrier by pushing his head into the glass. That gets him a roughing minor at the end. Ryan Reeves, I guess, said something, and he got a 10-minute misconduct. And then to finish it off, Patch Reddy gets a hooking call at the end when it was just garbage time. So looking in there.
PDB is actually talking now, so maybe we can listen to a Periscope or do something.
Yeah, I'll see if he is on Periscope, and it looks like they are not showing it on Periscope at the moment, so we don't have access to it at this time.
But the turnovers were 5-14. So the Sharks turnovers at the puck 14 times today. And that's just unacceptable. Like, you can't do that. And maybe this was just a perfect game all around for Vegas, but 14 times you turn over the puck and we're already a slow team. That's just not a blueprint for the Sharks.
And you know what? For your supposed best defensive pair, Mark Edward Vlasic and Justin Braun, each at a -3.
Jesus.
Yeah. That is not good. And you know what? This team needs some kind of major shakeup, and it needs to happen via the lineup card, where, you know, there's going to have to be some realizations here that Justin Braun and Mark Edward Vlasic are not playing well enough, you know, to be playing with each other, and put him back with Carlson. I think it's time to draw Tim Heaton for someone. Who that's for, I, you know, take your pick, but you know, I feel like Tim Heaton needs to come in. I think that it might be time to, I don't know, sit LeBanc or sit Donskoy or sit someone out of the core to really send some messages here.
But if you send the wrong message by doing that, that's and that could really ruin the team's psyche there. And it might have a negative aspect on it. And I get where you're coming at, Landy, in that sense, but I'm a little concerned. And you know, Dave B. Pilot saying sit, you know, Melker and Goodrow. Four positive for hockey. There's no chemistry at all between anyone in this team. You know, and I think Brett Hedekin said it, you know, really honestly in the first intermission. He's like waiting for a response.
Yeah. You know, what?
what was the response? And honestly, there really wasn't much of a response there. I mean, if you're roughing people up and everything, you didn't do that too well. And I don't know. I mean, they definitely got their shots on goal, but it's just, you know, I don't know. Kevin Lacey even saying, I like how DeBoer got tossed and the camera cut to Pavelski laughing on the bench. I didn't see that. So that would be quite interesting if that was the case.
I didn't see that.
You know, four pods up, no response for stupid calls or stupid goals, or no standing up for each other. Well, okay, now with stupid calls, you can't really say too much. Otherwise, you're going to get a 10 in the game, apparently. You know, they need to come together as a team. And they really need to do it in more so than anything right now. So it should be interesting to see here. And we're getting some audio in via AJ. Thank you, AJ. As we'll play this part for what we have for PDB.
Yeah, we weren't good tonight, you know. We just came off two of our last three games were shutouts. We're 4-1-1 in our last home game, so... You know what? We had a bad night. It happens. These guys got beat the other night 7-1 by Calgary. It happens to everybody. You guys are trying to make this bigger than it is. Yeah.
How did you see behind the game plan? He was obviously didn't like the call.
Yeah. You know, just absolutely no feel. You got a team down 5-0, already short on the bench with Couture hurt, and you're going to kick a guy out for arguing a call because emotions are high. Like, you know, have a little feel for the game. I don't know. You'd have to ask them.
What led to you getting ejected?
Well, I just asked. I didn't even swear. I just asked them, did that feel good, kicking Evander out under these circumstances? And that was enough, I guess. I guess he wanted another victim.
Take one more.
So that was Peter DeBoer afterwards, and I thank AJ for getting that and bringing it over to us. Landy, your thoughts?
Well, first I'd like to say if you haven't already subscribed, please go ahead and hit that. I think we're topping somewhere in the 60s range, so that's really awesome. You know, for this kind of a game. What do I think? I feel like PDB is really grasping for straws there. To me, it sounds like a guy who doesn't want to throw his team under the bus, but quite frankly needs to. You know, I think there's a little bit too much of a nonchalantness at times for him. I'm not saying, you know, go full, you know, Bruce Boudreaux when he gets a head full of steam, or John Tortorella. But I am saying, like, you know, come on, man. There needs to be some more accountability here. There needs to be some more urgency. I, you know, if you want to call out the defense as a whole, you know, complete systems breakdown, you know, whatever. You know, but honestly, I feel like it's a little too nonchalant.
You, Alex, to me, I kind of see it as he was trying to defend Evander a little bit and trying to get a sense of that, you know, this is a hot game right now, and a lot of the things are going through the minds as we speak here, and it seems like it got away from them a bit. What did you take from DeBoer's comments?
Yeah, I'm surprised he said what he said. It was pretty light, but considering that he was tossed out of the game, he'll probably receive more of the fine because he did a post-game interview. The Sharks...
I would say that you get probably a fine for his comments, but not because he had a post-game.
Yeah.
Yeah, but judging by the extent, I mean, it seemed like he was pointing more at the refs than the actual team. So he'll probably get a larger fine or the max fine. So probably something around 10,000 or maybe 5,000, whatever the max is for a coach. The next Sharks game is on the 27th. So there is about 2 to 3 days where they can do a players only meeting. And this would probably be the time, if you're going to make a change, do it. Because now you have leftover from November, December, and then leading into the next year. So it's going to be interesting what happens the next couple of days leading into Buffalo.
Gotcha.
Travis, Travis McLean, thanks so much for chiming in. Pete sounded pissed. A good coach would be. It's truly asinine to fire a coach when we're in first in the division. 20 some odd games in, some Sharks fans blow my mind. I don't think that it's, I don't necessarily think that it's PDB's fault insofar as he has the tools to do it. It's just whether or not he has the cojones to really, you know, make those changes. I feel like the power play, you know, has been off and on.
Atrocious.
Yeah.
It hasn't been on.
I feel like our defensive schemes are not being executed well. So, you know, I agree. You know, it would be asinine to fire the coach at this point, but it's also, it behooves him to try and motivate this team in a different way than he's already doing now.
Right.
I do think his job is safe just because he's, you know, in the division lead, but if he's lost the locker room and he's lost, you know, EK, that's Erik Karlsson, then potentially you move, you know, PDB and maybe get someone like Joe Quivel, who you might respect more just because he's been there.
Yeah, here's the thing I think with replacing a coach. The last time the Sharks replaced a coach was Sutter for Ron Wilson back in November of 2002. And I think at the time they were like 8-12-4 at that time. The thing is, this team, and granted, we all hear about how horrible the Pacific Division is because, heaven forbid, we don't hear about how horrible the Penguins are in the Metro because, you know, NBC wouldn't allow that. However, you always hear, oh, it's the worst division in hockey, the worst division in hockey. Well, with this win, it puts the Vegas Golden Knights, who were in a heap of trouble early in the season, that it was supposed they're coming back down to earth, now just 3 points behind San Jose in a tight race in the Pacific Division. And entering tonight, and we mentioned this last night, you know, I think it was on After Dark, the Sharks are essentially fourth in the conference. You know, and it's, you know, considering that they've done that, you can combine with what they've done against the entire West. I mean, it's crazy to think that this team is underperforming. Now, granted, we had lofty expectations, especially when the trade of Karlsson came down, you know. But the Sharks are currently sit in fifth in the West. Now, granted, that doesn't make any sense anymore because they don't do it through conference. But they're the fifth best team in the West. They're tied with Winnipeg for points, but they're only 5 points behind Nashville for the top spot in the Western Conference.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Eric, you're totally right, and this conference race seems a lot. I mean, it's pretty tight. You know, it's there's not really a lot separating the bottom from the top. Parity is all at an all-time high, and you know. It is difficult to execute some kind of coaching move, and I don't think that that's necessarily it's the time to yet. But I'm also very disturbed at the trends that I am seeing in the way that they lose, in the way that sometimes this offense is just so very hot and cold. That's what I'm concerned about.
Gotcha. Yeah, there's all kinds of emotions, and honestly, what's going on with everything? I mean, it's strange to see that essentially the Sharks have won half of their games, and yet they're fifth in the conference. Now, granted, people are saying, "Well, you know, overall the West is not the greatest." Sure, but you know, I look at fifth in the East, and that's Washington at 29, and they're just 5 points, you know, behind the best team in the league right now, which we'll get to in the wraparound in just a jiffy, but let's put a bow on this nightmarish of a night for the Sharks. Shots on goal, 36-33 in favor of Vegas. By the way, Kevin, if you want to jump on, your segment will be coming up shortly. Face-off percentage. Sharks won the face-off battle 57-43. Power plays were abysmal on both ends. San Jose was 0 for 3. Vegas was 1 for 6. Pims, a combined 64 penalty minutes. Of course, San Jose taking 44 hits. Sharks out-hit the Knights 33-25. The block shots were even, 17-16 favor San Jose. Giveaways were about even, with San Jose having one more. You guys mentioned it earlier. Vlasic and Braun, -3. Dylan and Carlson, -2. Ryan and Burns, 0. They were even on the night. Ice time has been a huge thing we mentioned in the past before. Tonight, Joachim Ryan got 16:43. Braun got 17:36. That was quite interesting. Erik Karlsson was under 20 minutes tonight. Brendan Dillon had more time on ice than Erik Karlsson on this night. Aaron Dell with 30 saves on 36 shots. I thought after that nightmarish first period, he came in and you know, stayed with it. I mean, kudos to him. I think after that first period, you know, only allowing 2 goals on the last 25 shots on there. So, you know, Aaron Dell regained his form, but unfortunately it was too little too late. Marc-Andre Fleury, back-to-back shutouts. His 5th shutout of the season for Vegas. He stopped all 33 shots that he faced on this night. Carrier with the goal, Pacioretty with 2, Wild Bill Carlson with the goal, Alex Tuck with a 2 goal, with a 2-point night, a goal and assist, Riley Smith with 2 assists. So, that being said, we close the book on that. We want to welcome those of you who have finished watching Brody and Curtis to Teal Town After Dark. This is your live and interactive Sharks, and about just a moment, Barracuda post-game show. So do us a favor, hit that subscribe button down below. Make sure you hit up Teal Town USA for all your Sharks and Barracuda needs. We do this after every Sharks game, home and away, regular season, playoffs, you name it, you love it. And so we thank you, and we thank you to all 64 people watching on the YouTube this evening. So with that, let's get this thing rolling, as it's time for, it's not as fancy as AJ said, forgive me, but it is time for some Barracuda loving. That's right. Literally an hour before the Sharks took on the Knights, the San Jose Barracuda took on the Colorado Eagles for their 2nd night in a row in lovely Colorado. And with that to break it down, we bring in the guy that gives us Mo Lovin' than Movember. It is Kevin Lacey. Kevin, how are you? Your season debut on Teal Town After Dark. How are you, bud?
It's about time. I'm good. How's everybody? Well, okay. I shouldn't ask that. How's everybody feeling about some Barracuda talk that is slightly better than the Sharks talk this evening?
I'm ready. I'm ready.
Please give us some good news.
Give me some good news.
The good news is the Barracuda did not trail for 65 minutes. The bad news is they lost anyway, 4-3 in shootout.
Womp, womp.
Womp, womp, womp.
Yeah, to the Colorado Eagles, the newest team in the American Hockey League affiliate of the Colorado Avalanche. Bet you couldn't guess that. I actually thought, the Barracuda actually played a pretty good game tonight, especially considering that Roy Sommer really jumbled the lines all around. You saw Francis Perron playing with basically the 3rd line center, Alex True, and the 5th line center, right wing, John Martin tonight. which I'd like to actually get to in a little bit. But just breaking down the scores real quick, Jeff Viel, who's kind of become the power forward on the Barracuda. He was the captain of, oh, shoot, who was it? Akadi Bathurst. I can't remember who won the Memorial Cup last year, but he got his third goal of the season, basically started the breakout from his own corner, went all the way up the ice, parked in front of the net, got a goal. That's what you want. The Eagles tied the game up 1-1 with just 6 seconds left. Ty Lewis just off a turnover by Nick DeSimone. Unfortunately, that made it 1-1. Zach Fry got his first goal of his pro career, only his second game of the season because he's been a healthy scratch for the other 13 games this season. But he was flying out there tonight. Looked like he's trying to get a permanent spot in the lineup, which is, of course, what you want out of your developing players. You want them all to be hungry. And I know a lot of you in the chat have said, send some players down, bring some players up. Well, you got to be hungry at any time. So Zach Fry with his first of the year. Then Justin Falk with his 7th goal in the last 8 years in professional hockey. Unfortunately, beat Josef Korenash clean 5-hole for literally his 7th goal in 8 years to make it 2-2. John McCarthy on the power play, basically, again, parked in front. Rorschach's shot was blocked and went directly to McCarthy, put it in 3-3. But then Martin Kaut, first-round pick of the Avalanche this past summer, tied the game up with just over 5 minutes left. OT was crazy. Francis Perron had a breakaway in OT and blew a tire and went flying into the corner. That was just kind of how the whole night went for this organization. So then in the shootout, the Eagles scored twice. Barracuda Gambrell made his little fancy fake shot deep to the backhand. Francois wasn't fooled. And then I'm trying to remember who took the second shot, but he missed the net. Manny Vieter took the second shot, missed the net, and it was over. So the Barracuda fall 4-3. But a good game, much better game than the Sharks tonight, guys.
Obviously, they picked up a point, lost in the shootout. Francis Perron, who is that other quote-unquote missing piece that nobody talks about this trade, he's been on a great run this season with the Cuda.
Yeah, Francis Perron is a guy that the fans have really, really gotten behind. I feel like when I'm checking Facebook, checking Twitter, guys are really... people are really behind him, which is awesome to see. He's a guy who scored 10 professional goals for the Binghamton / Belleville Senators, and now he already has 9 goals for the Barracuda. So he's a goal away from tying his entire career high going into this season, career total going into this season. One thing I mentioned earlier, that Perron was playing with Alex True and John Martin tonight. And I really like that lineup change. I've liked the lineup changes Roy Sommer has done, because you cannot rely on the same thing getting you through the whole season. Sure, the Barracuda would love to go 50-20-18 or something, you know? But when it comes down to the playoffs, if they figure out your formula, we've seen it time and time again with the Sharks, if they figure out your formula and you haven't been practicing different things, you're screwed. So Francis Perron has been dynamite with Dylan Gambrell and the now injured Vincent Praplin. And so let's switch it up. Let's see what he can do with other guys. A lot of people that I saw were upset Perron hasn't been called up and Lukáš Rodil was. Lukáš Rodil is a 28-year-old European journeyman, basically, at this point. It's now or never for him. Like, the Sharks need to see whether or not he's an NHL player now. They have time with Francis Perron. So let's see what he can do on a consistent basis. I think you're right, Eric. He's been great so far this season, but let's make sure that he is ready by the time he gets an NHL call-up.
I completely agree. Make sure that he's been lights out, especially with guys who've been with the big club already, with Chartier and Gambrell down there now. How are those guys looking in the Cuda, and for that matter, Are they, I mean, with everything going on right now, who's the next guy to get that call up?
Dylan Gambrell, to me, really is the best skater on the team. I think the two goalies make a strong argument for being the two best players on the team this season so far, with Antoine Bibeault and Josef Korenash. But Dylan Gambrell is noticeable every time he's on the ice. He's kind of been snake bitten by points, and I'd say consistently putting up points because of all the fluctuation with him on that shuttle between the Sharks and the Barracuda. But I think his game, like watching him, he's very consistently getting offensive opportunities. And I think that goes a lot further than him scoring 30 goals at an AHL level. You know, I'd rather see him have good tendencies before he becomes a full-time NHLer. If I was going, not so much off the board, but a name that really needs to be spoken about more is Max Letunov. 6'4", kind of lanky, but getting stronger. Centerman, wins a lot of faceoffs. I know Hockey Jerk's big on Letunov. There's a lot of good upside. He's obviously a Russian player, but he's an Americanized Russian player. He plays all three zones. So Nick Nolenberger had a great article on the AHL.com earlier this morning, I believe, about Letunov's journey to professional hockey. Check that out. But he's the guy I think most deserving of getting a look. Maybe not a full-time call-up, but a look.
Cool. And one last thing before I go, so I'm just clarifying. I remember it was points percentage last year as the determining factor. Is it still points percentage, or did they go back to points now?
It's still points percentage, because the Pacific Division still, for whatever reason, is a 68-game division, despite the fact that there's seven legitimate teams in the Pacific now, because San Antonio and Texas, in Cedar Park, Texas, are now in the Central. I don't know. But
I was just curious by that. I didn't mean to throw you off, because I know whenever I go to the standings page at the AHL.com, it always gets to points and not percentage. So
yeah. I need to double check on that, because I believe there's still a team that plays 76 in the Pacific for whatever reason.
Interesting.
I'm not sure. I got to double check on that, but I feel like there is one team. Might be Colorado, actually.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Interesting. Well, Kevin, I appreciate you checking in with that. I will be at the game on Tuesday morning, which is a great time for me since I'm on vacation this week. As the Barracuda have, what is it, a field trip day, as they take on the Stockton Heat. That's at Tuesday at 11 a.m. So
Barracuda in the classroom day. It's last year's game was ridiculously fun, and I believe they won it overtime on a Balser's goal. So yeah, check it out. I'm going to try and escape on my lunch break to get out there. So
and definitely check it out. Go to sjbarracuda.com for all of that. Kevin, thank you very much. Appreciate your insight with the CUDA.
Absolutely. Thanks, guys. Have a good night.
You too.
Awesome. All right. So that was Kevin Lacy making his season debut. We hope to have him on a lot more this season. So with that, Landy, is it time?
Yeah, I'm not going to even fight you on this one.
Atta boy. That's the spirit. It is time for maybe.
Time for me?
No.
He's trying to work his computer, but can't.
The goddamn comment, Curtis, said you give him a reach around.
It's wrap around, damn it. That's it's right.
Reach around.
No, it's wrap around, because again, as I say, when was the last time you had a reach around in the NHL? Just say.
Tonight.
All right. We had a plenty of games in the NHL tonight, and a lot of noteworthy games as well on this night. So let's get into it. Capitals beat the Rangers 5-3 on New York's home ice. Dowd, Vrana, Ovechkin getting his 17th, Connolly his 4th, Tom Wilson scoring in back-to-back games. He gets his 4th as Copley gets the victory over Georgiev in the battle of the backups. On in Manhattan. In St. Louis, it was Line A 5, Blues 4. No, I'm sorry. It was Winnipeg 8, the Blues 4. That's right. Patrick Laine scores 5 goals. The last time a person did that was Johan Franzen in 2001. He gets 5 and all of a sudden takes over the league lead in goals. Blake Wheeler also getting 2 on the night. I'm sorry. No, he got his 4th of the night. Or 4th of his season today. Easy for me to say. Perron Varesenko and Maroon along with O'Reilly for the Blues. The Blues 8-11-3. The Jets now go up to 28 points at 13-7-2. Speaking of turnarounds, the Flyers had a shutout over the Rangers yesterday. Tonight they were shut out, this time to the Maple Leafs 6-0. Andreas Johnsson, his first hat trick of his career, along with Josh Levo, John Tavares, and Patrick Marleau. The former Shark gets his 5th of the season as Calvin Pickard loses over Garrett Sparks. Steve Dangle will be exceptionally happy on the next LFR. The classic rivalry between Boston and Montreal goes in favor of the Bruins, 3-2. Backes, DeBrusk, and Moore get the goals for the Bruins, who win it late with under 3 minutes to go in the regulation. Drouin his 9th, Tatar his 10th. Wow, what happened to him? You know, apparently he couldn't hack it with the Knights, but 10 goals on the season for Tatar in a losing effort for Montreal. In Detroit, the Red Wings lose to the Sabres in a shootout 3-2. Skinner and Thompson for the Sabres, Larkin and Mantha for the Red Wings. Ullmark gets the win over Jimmy Howard. The Sabres have now won 9 in a row. And yes, that is the Sharks' next opponent on Tuesday. The surging hot, the best team in the NHL, the Buffalo Sabres. And for the sake of AJ Strong, he hopes Pominville doesn't score 1 to add on to the population of the city. In South Florida, the Blackhawks get a victory 5-4 over the Panthers. Kampf, Kane, Fortin, DeBrincat, and Gustafson, he had the game-winning goal in overtime. Former Shark Mike Hoffman, his 11th of the season. McCann, Ekblad, Vetrano are your goal scorers for the Panthers. In Brooklyn, the Islanders beat the Hurricanes 4-1. No skull celebration here, folks. Bolivier, Bailey, and Pellick getting the goals for the Islanders as they get to 26 points on the campaign. The Hurricanes, 25 points. The Penguins beat the Blue Jackets 4-2 on this night. Jake Gensel with a hat trick on this night as DeSmith is now kind of part of the goalie platoon in Pittsburgh with Murray out for a while. Corposalo takes the loss for the Neon Buggers. In Denver, the Avalanche beat the Stars 3-2. McKinnon, Confer, and Rantanen, your goal scorer is there. Hudobin was the losing goaltender while Faska and Jamie Benn get the goals for the Dallas Stars, who came back a little too late. The Stars are at 26 points. The Avalanche are now at 30. We mentioned to you the Knights beating the Sharks 6-0. Final in Los Angeles. Vancouver beats the LA Kings 4-2.
Oh my God.
Oh. You gotta retire this.
Elias Pettersson, his 13th goal of the year. Drew Doughty gets his 2nd as the Kings stay at 15 points while the Canucks go to 11-13-2. They end their skid tonight against LA. And briefly looking at the standings before we start wrapping things up in the Western Conference, because we have hit that quarter pole. We've hit that Thanksgiving talk about, you know, where your team is at. San Jose clinging to first place by a thread at 28. Calgary's at 27. Anaheim and Vegas are tied at 25. Nashville's at 33, and behind them is Minnesota and Colorado at 30. Your two wild cards would be Winnipeg and Dallas. Vegas on the outside looking in because they have played one more game at the moment. Vancouver now at 24 points. They're creeping back into it now that they've ended their streak. Chicago 23, and of course the Kings are at 15. So that is your NHL wraparound. And so we come up to Tuesday at 4 p.m. as the Sharks take on the Sabres. To which I say, final thoughts and where the people can find you, Mr. Alex Martinet.
Final thoughts. Okay, well, A, I'm glad this game is over, even though we lost 6-0. Move on to the next one. But this team has just way too much talent to allow even a 6-0 loss or a blowout. This is the fourth blowout this season. It's just not acceptable, and this team has just lacked consistency all throughout the season, and it just shows. Like, I haven't, when was the last time we've had a 3 or 4 game winning streak? It's just, this team is just, it's one of the most frustrating teams because it has so much, you know, talent to it, but don't know where it is. Don't know where the mindset is. But you can find me on Twitter at Al Martinet, always there to chat. And yeah, Buffalo is gonna be interesting.
Very interesting, more interesting than ever. Even though they pretty much have our number in Buffalo. Mr. Eric Landy, thank you for joining me as well. Your final thoughts and where the people can find you.
The final thoughts are, I think I'm going to go get some vodka. And
hey, and it's Saturday night. You don't have to work tomorrow, right?
Exactly, exactly. So go drown my sorrows in a bottle of vodka. And then as far as the game goes, do everything exactly opposite of what you did tonight. is pretty much all I have to say about that.
Normally, I think AJ has the clip of Pav saying, "Way to keep doing it, whatever
it is you're doing there.
You're doing, you know, just do the opposite and go with Ray Ratter. Just win the game, you know." AJ Strong. Does Simic ever play hockey again? I mean, this poor guy has been sitting in the press box for close to 2 months. It'll be interesting to see. And for that part, you know, Tim Heed, I guess, played a horrible game last night Kevin Lacey, I still truly believe Simic is only there to give Heed someone to practice with. Yeah, or let's be honest as to what it really is. They're afraid of losing him like they did Ryan Carpenter on waivers. So, anyways, I'm sorry, Lanny, you were finishing up. Go ahead.
I was just laughing at this rest in peace Simic little chat blurb. But yeah, I mean, you can find me on all the social medias using my first name, Eric, last name, Landy. And that's spelled with a K and an I. And yeah.
All right. Thank you very much, Landy. In case you missed anything, you want to watch this wonderful thing again, check us out on TealTownUSA.com or your favorite podcatcher, whether it's iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, Stitcher, TuneIn, and of course, smash that subscribe button and of course, ring that bell. That'll notify you when we come on for anything and everything Sharks and Barracuda. So check us out there at TealTownUSA. Of course, you can follow.
Hey, Eric, I would subscribe just for those lovely impressions.
See how much they love him? They just love him. Wait till they hear Rick Jenneret on the next show. That's right.
I think there's going to be some references to mamas and cookies.
That's right. Or is there's one friend of the show would make fun of it. That top shelf where Daddy hides the liquor, and apparently that's where Atlantis headed to after we go off the air.
Yep.
As always, you can follow me on Twitter and the Instagram at PuckGuy14, helping out a little bit here and there with the pregame reports along with AJ, and also just be on the lookout for anything we drop. We could be dropping something surprising on you very soon, so keep on lookout for that. Of course, we'll be back with you Tuesday night following the Sharks and Buffalo Sabres as they begin a second set of back-to-backs for an interesting road trip that continues on with Buffalo, Toronto, Ottawa, and Montreal. So stay tuned for that. Stay tuned for everything we do. We appreciate you. We appreciate each and every one of you tuning in on the air. So with that, thank you very much for watching. Keep it real. Keep it teal. Keep it real teal. Hang in there, Sharks fans.